speaker is Marcel Vogel. Many of you have known Marcel. He's been involved for 60 years in the study of luminescence of solids. In the spring of 1943, he published a book with a man named Primesheim. The book was on luminescence of liquid solids and other practical applications. He was involved in the Vogel Luminescence Corporation from 1943 to 1957. He worked for IBM from 1957 through 1984, and he's the man responsible for credit cards. He is also involved in psychic research. Please welcome Marcel Vogel.
I like to give hugs. Welcome, everyone. I'm very happy to be here again and to share with you new knowledge. Knowledge which I believe can lead us into the next generation of scientific research and development. I put close now to 20 years of study in this. This has not been idle. I have carefully studied it, and the words I'm going to give you are going to be, in many ways, earth-shaking. But I've carefully thought them out, and this evening I share them with you. What got me into crystals really has been a lifelong fascination and study. I started as a child of 7 or 8 in the study of the glowworm, the bioluminescence of the glowworm. And I said, someday I want to understand and duplicate the light of the glowworm. By 13, I had duplicated the chemical compound 3-aminothallus-1,4-dione, and I will never forget that beautiful bioluminescence that I had in the vessel, the light of the glowworm. I am Roman Catholic, and I've learned the power of prayer. I've learned from early childhood the critical power of focusing within, asking and waiting patiently for the answers to forthcome. Because when we pray, we create space within us, but we must not force time. At the age of 6, I experienced a separation from my physical body in a near-death experience. I felt the transition from the physical body and went into this tunnel that you read about, that beautiful tunnel of light, and was being received at the end of the tunnel and had that tremendous joy of going home. Suddenly, I was back into my body. The next day, I was well and running around. I asked my parents, the priest, the doctor, Why am I alive? What is the purpose now of my life? I was prepared by First Communion, by all of the sacraments, to transcend, to pass on. Now I'm back here in this world and alive. Nobody could give me an answer. I had to go within and wait for the answer to be forthcoming. I got it from no one. I would walk 1.5 miles to St. Anthony's Church, go to 5:30 Mass, and said, "Dear Jesus, I want to know why I'm alive. Now give me a good solid answer." I talked cold turkey to Christ. I laid it on the line. I said, I was ready to die. Now why am I alive? 4 years. Every day, no answer. How many of you here would have the patience to pray every day for 4 years with no answer? At the end of 4 years, suddenly one day after Mass, a voice spoke within me and said, "You are to be a phosphor chemist. You will write a book on luminescence. You will build your own corporation and then do fundamental research in rare earth phosphors." 10.5-year-old boy. I went home, borrowed $1, and bought a chemistry set and became a phosphor chemist. Needless to say, I made unacceptable smells and stinks in the house. I soon had to be evicted from the house, and my dear father helped me to build a laboratory out in the back. By the age of 11, I had a full-blown 3-room wet chemical laboratory where I was synthesizing phosphors. I went through hundreds and hundreds of formulations of Leonard and Klotz phosphors, which I translated word from word from the original German documents. 11-year-old translating original German documents from German into English, and then started the systematic collation and classification of every document on luminescence from 1900 to the time I was at that point in time. I have it to this day, card index file and microfilming, which I did in my darkroom. Systematic scientific approach to understanding the phenomena of energy conversion in crystalline solids. This is my background, backbone, which now is a ground which I share with you to the next step. We're going to leapfrog to IBM. IBM in 1969, where I gave a course in IBM on engineering creativity. In that course, I presented the work of Clive Baxter, "Do Plants Have Emotions?" Is there the capacity in a plant form to interact with the mind of man or woman and get a cohesive recording of that energetic emission that we do in thought or thinking. I saw the work that Baxter published, and very honestly, I threw it away. It was beyond my capacity to accept that as tangible reality. I picked it up, we challenged the class, and imagine 35 scientists of IBM trying to talk to plants. We worked for 3 months trying to talk to philodendrons. We set up a committee, you know, normal committee program, but we all went into competition with one another. I bought my plant. The group, the class, bought theirs, and we shared, boom, the electronics. The electronic was a $25 psych analyzer, which we made ourselves. Very simple printed circuit board, very, very simple electronics. When we did the work, the consensus of the class was they found nothing beyond noise of the normal bioelectric activity of the plant. I waited until the plant told me it was ready to work with me. I made a friend of it. And so I had it in my room, and I waited till the last day to get going, and suddenly I had the feeling in my stomach, it's time to work. And I brought it into the dark room, brought in Dr. Jan Thomas, and we did the plant experiments together. Because of that one night's work, I am here with you now. December 1970. That one night's work changed my life. Because what I saw was that before I made a motion in space of doing an action, it was anticipated in a oscillation in the strip chart recorder in a change in voltage that we were watching on the graph. That was no accident. It was a minute voltage fluctuation. My life changed as a consequence. Just as a child of 6, when I saw that glowworm and my mind was turned on, I want to know what made that little insect emit light. Now I want to know what is this energy that we release in thought. It is energetic, it is a force, and it is a power which we release and move in space, and matter interacts with this energy. The class felt that the data was minuscule, and passed it by. I brought it home, and for 2 years I practiced day after day, breathing in front of the plant to my wife's utter dismay, disgust, and horror. Imagine her husband, myself, sitting 10 feet away and going, hour by hour. And then long streams of recording paper cluttering up the living room. And so my wife would say, "Darling, when are you quitting?" I said, "Darling, leave me alone. I'm working." "Darling, when are you quitting?" The joy of discovery, please, is when you get that minuscule little twiggle which turns you on, and now you want to really know. And here's what was accomplished after 2 years of work. First slide, please. This type of information does not come easily. You see here on the graph the normal oscillation. This is noise here, and suddenly I link into the plant. I draw my breath in, hold, and now release the breath. Move on, draw the breath in again, goes electronegative, hold, electropositive. Third time, out, fourth time. And suddenly I draw my breath in, and it comes up, and it goes stable. When I get this state, I am linked to the plant. That was the discovery that Cleve Baxter has never reported in any of his papers. It requires a psychoenergetic linking of the mind to the life form, the plant, through breathing and intention. And when you accomplish that, there is a complete change in the electrical activity of the plant versus where it was before. Now, what happens is the following. The plant normally is exceedingly sensitive to light, very good photoconductor, electrostatic charges, to heat, to electrical fields. When the plant is charged the way you see it here, I dominate that plant and can command it willfully to be non-responsive to any force except my mind. That was the discovery. As a consequence, when I get to that state with the plant, I can do that in an auditorium of this dimension with as many people as we have now, and no one of you can touch that plant. Namely, I will link into the plant, and all of you can use your minds or any energetic device, and nothing will happen. But I need but point to you, draw my breath in, and immediately your mind will be functioning on that plant, because I become a medium to draw the energy from you through me into the plant. And we'll see what happens on the next graph. Here is a scientist, a Dr. Dorfman, professor of physics at UC in Santa Cruz. I had him think about mentally cutting the plant. He did that here. He went in, made 1, 2, 3 mental incisions, and came out of the plant again. I said, "Let's do it again." He made a single incision. When this, boom, when this was done, I felt a contact in my stomach, and I was pushed against the wall, just like a knife was being driven into my stomach. So I felt the intention of his mind physically on my body as well as seeing the remarks on the plant. The next view graph will show you a thought spectrogram. Here's the image of the thought of this man, Dr. Dorfin. Here's a triggering pulse of his brain turning on, clicking in, and suddenly he's thinking of his wife and shutting off. I had him do that twice, and I could overlay each of these patterns one on top of the other, and they matched one another. A thought spectrogram. In other words, these are the integrating information of the patterns that he was creating in space and building a thought form of his wife. The next slide. Here is a composite analysis now with a narcophysiograph equipment in which I had the GSR, galvanic skin response equipment, on myself, on the plant, and on another subject, a young girl. I created a image of a onion, and I had both of us bite the onion, and when the girl visualized this onion, it created a very strong response here, and there is a response of the plant in coincidence with her thought form. Next slide. Now, we see then that a living form, a plant, electroded with stainless steel electrodes to a polygraph, can give a recording of the energetic patterns that are released by mind in space, in the act of thinking. This is not limited to time or space. I did this in my room. I did the same thing 14 miles away, and I went then 8,000 miles away to Prague, Czechoslovakia, projected a thought to the plant that was set up with Dr. Ward Lamb, and immediately I linked to it, and I got the same signals I did when I was with him in San Jose, California. Now, the problem I had was that I killed the plants. The plants could not take the energetic focus, the day-to-day intense focus of energy that was being released, and the leaves would drop and they would die. I said, I must find a better transducer. The first step was the study of water, H2O. I took water, a microliter of water in a small capillary, ran the infrared spectra using a microspectrophotometer attached to the Zeiss UltraPho 2 that I had at IBM. And this is the spectra of the water here. Now, I took the capillary tube and put it between my fingers, focused on it, and pulsed my breath. And look at the next foil. We overlay them one on the other. What happened now is that here and here came two distinct bands. One here and the other here, and another new set of bands here, which were not present before. Going to the literature for near-infrared spectral analysis, you find that these bands coincide with OH stretch, the stretching of the hydroxyl ion. So the hydroxyl unit of the water, HOH, was stretched, and it produced additional bands from just holding between my fingers. I've gone deeper, I don't have the graphs here, and not even touching the water, but just staring at the tube and pulsing my breath, and the same spectra took place. So this taught me lesson number two, the dynamics of our mind. I underline the word dynamics, interacting with even the fluidic matter of water, and the care we must exercise as experimentalists and scientists of knowing how to control the energetics of our mind. How do we do that? 4 years of study, yoga, the practice of pranayama, the withholding of breath, and the maintenance of a disciplined level of consciousness. You must be aware of these phenomena in you, conscious of it, and practice precisely the disciplining of yourself in any of this work to get a realistic, honest output of any data that has any meaning or substance to it. 1973. I gave a talk on communicating with plants, and I got a call from Dr. McKestry, a religious science practitioner, minister. She said, "I feel impelled to call you because I have a quartz crystal that when I hold it in my hand, it vibrates." Now, what that meant to me was absolutely zero, even worse than the Baxter paper. I said, "So what?" She said, "I feel impelled to send it to you." I said, "Fine, if you want, my dear, do it." So she sent me the paper. I'm sorry, the crystal. I got the crystal in my hand, held it, breathed in and out, and sure enough, it began to vibrate. Now, what did that mean? What could I do with that? Well, that day I had a wonderful young man by the name of Chuck McNosa, an assistant that I had hired to work with me. He was sitting next to me, and I pointed the crystal at him and pulsed my breath like that. When that was done, his head went back and he went into a trance state, an altered state of consciousness. I then could direct him to go to any place in the country, world, for that matter. We went traveling all over. I was frightened. I did not want to have a device that would have that type of energetics. I could not see any real use for it. I put it on my chiffonier, and the next day, you know what happened? There was no longer a crystal. It disappeared. I did not have the crystal. The following day, Dr. McKestry called me, said, "How are you doing?" Said, "Dear, I don't have the crystal anymore." Said, "I'll send you another one." Boy, she was insistent. I got the second crystal. This time, I meditated on it and said, I want to find the proper and meaningful use for this crystal without any garbage or nonsense. And I truly and deeply meant it. Otherwise, I would have broken it up and gotten rid of it. Did not want to be involved in any power play. I'd never have been interested in that. Or any form of what I would call magic. In other words, a manipulation or control over another person. In about 2 days, I awoke one morning, and in front of my mind's eye, as solid as you and I are looking at one another now, there appeared the image of the tree of life, the Kabbalah. I knew nothing about the Kabbalah, absolutely nothing. I saw the image. It was like what you see there on the flip chart. That image persisted for 15 minutes. I got up. It was still hanging in front of me. It was that intense. It was like it was engraved in my brain. I said, all right, that has meaning. I sketched it out. I always carry a notebook on my desk. And then when I got to IBM, I got into the glass shop, I got the crystal, the second crystal, and started to cut. It took me close to a year to carve away that crystal into the form and geometry of that image, the tree of life. That was the first crystal. Now realize what I've had to go through technically to be tested and challenged. Now the real challenge came. I had that on my desk, and I asked the next question: what do I do with it? What is its value? Mind you, no textbook. Here is a crystal looking like the tree of life. The next day, towards 5 o'clock, I got a feeling in my stomach. And then I called the fourth level manager for IBM, Dr. Ko Nishimura, wonderful Japanese man. I said, Ko, I have a feeling about you. Are you okay? He said, no, I am paralyzed. That morning, he had been running excessively. He was formerly a football player, and he had overstressed his back, and his back was in spasm. He was frozen and he could not move his body. He was in shock. I said to him then, could I help you? He said, if you can, please. So I went over to him with the crystal and intuitively I worked on the thymus, put a charge in of love, and had him draw his breath in and visualize when he had the accident in his football playing and release that program with the outgoing breath. He did that, and suddenly his body shook. And he suddenly wiggled his body, and he was free. The stress was gone. He got up. He could bend down and touch his toes and drove home. He was fine. That was the first person I treated with the crystal. I had to jump from no knowledge to healing. No textbook, nothing. It has been a challenge like that. from every step that I have had to take. The challenge is, most of us will throw this type of information into the garbage heap, say, oh, I can't do that. It's not possible. I must work it out first. But I trust my intuitive mind. I trust the voice that works within me, and therefore I am willing to act. And that's why I'm here with you. Now, it has been a successive series of step-by-step growth, accretion, emotion, and development. And tonight, I give you the peak of this effort that I have been going these years since 1973. What I feel we have accomplished is that we have been able to make, by careful design and finishing, a crystal transducer for the human mind, an instrument that will hold a thought form, a quanta of mind energy. And with this quanta of mind energy, be able to direct it at will to act on in space on other forms of matter. Be it a person, be it water, be it wine, or other chemical structures. The next big step that we have just taken this last week, or rather month, is that we have found that we are capable of transmitting and receiving with crystals of this type at a distance. One crystal with no information in it, other crystal with a program. We can project from crystal A to crystal B and spin a fluid around that crystal, and that information in A will now be transferred to the water. And we have done that now hundreds and hundreds of times. You will now see the data. This is a big set of statements. The lower the temperature, the more precise the transitions, the higher the energy transference. The type of information, the energetics that we are imputing into this crystal, has the characteristic of a magnetic domain, the same type of a domain that we find on ferromagnetic recording surfaces. This crystal can be erased with mind or by a magnetic bulk eraser. What is remarkable, once I put a program into this crystal, I can insulate by an act of will and program this program from anybody's intervention. We've just finished doing an experiment in that line in the Sycamore Creek Winery. We are able now to finish wine in the matter of seconds by just spinning wine around a crystal which I have programmed the characteristics I want that wine to have. And it will finish it precisely exactly as was done in the laboratory. We have done now over 20,000 gallons of wine and 7 different wines. And now we have tested it over 7 months, from January to now. So I am not talking an artifact. I am not talking a little laboratory experiment. I'm talking a full-blown operation done in a winery. And now I'm going to beer. Then I will go to the soft drink industry. My intention is to put this type of operation for the good of man. The remarkable thing we have found is that when this wine is treated with the crystal, that wine is a healthy wine. Now, this took place just last week. We had a Johannesburg Riesling late harvest, 1/2 bottle that was treated. The other 1/2 bottle of the same wine that was pulled before treating. This was given to a man who had a sugar condition, a diabetic sugar condition, very severe. Normally could not take wine. Hypoglycemia. He went home, had a meal, and drank the first bottle that had been treated with no resulting harm. He finished the bottle and had a perfectly satisfactory meal. The next day, he drank the same bottle which had been not treated with the same meal and got the most severe hypoglycemic reaction you can imagine. Eyes swollen, chest and face turned red, stomach distended, he became deathly ill. Same wine, the only difference, it had been spun once around the crystal. Never in contact with the crystal. Just the program that I put in with my mind into the crystal in a loving way to bring that wine up to its maximum of quality and assurance. That is what we have done in our little laboratory in these last few years. This information in this crystal imprinted by mind has a characteristic, I say, of a weak magnetic field. And the transfer to fluidic material, namely, let's now speak of water, takes place in the water by structuring it. I have a 47-page paper here on the structuring of water by the crystal. And what we have found when we treat the water with the crystal, the water, develops a lyotropic mesophase. That means that the energy, the power, the force that is created by the interaction of the field that is created from a moving body of water and the induced field in the crystal interact, rearrange the tetrahedrons of the water molecule and form a ice-like state at room temperature. A hexagonal lyotropic mesophase. The proof of that is when you do a melting point determination, there is a depressed melting point, minus 20 degrees C. You find a birefringent mesophase in that water at that lower temperature. The wetting of the water is different. And wait till you see the change in pH. We can make a pH change from 5.5 to 8 with one pass around the crystal. One pass. We can change the calcium content of the water radically. Nitrates, magnesium, these are chemical analyses. Just by a single pass around a programmed crystal. This is new technology. This now opens new doors of technical application. We can build, my friends, new chemicals. We can build new fuels. Not with heat, not with thermal means, but with mind energy. It sounds like Buck Rogers, but it is here now for you and I to think and to do. The patents have been filed, and as soon as they are granted, I gleefully open the doors to you, to you and I, sit down and let us work together. Yes, dear. Next step, I will talk now on what happens to you and me when we just take and hold one of these crystals in our hand. There are profound physiological changes in our body from just holding the crystal in the right hand and in the left hand. Now, these are unprogrammed crystals right now. I'm going to show you. It may sound absolutely strange, but this was done at UC Davis. This work is on myself, so I am the recipient of this work. Here's the type of statistical data. This is with the type of output that they have gotten. Now we'll look at the results. We're looking at the alpha, beta, theta, and delta activity. These are 30-second intervals. This is one six-sided, single-terminated crystal, right half of the brain and left half, eyes closed, 30 seconds here, and then I open my eyes, crystal is put in my hand here, and then I put it onto the other side of my hand, and then I close my eyes again. You see, the alpha activity goes down as soon as the crystal goes in my hand. And then as soon as I start to focus, it goes up. It holds when I reverse to the open my eyes. In this case, it drops down. That's with a single terminated six-sided crystal. Let's look on the next one now. Look at the contrast to an eight-sided double terminated. Let's look at the alpha again. Eyes closed, the crystal's put in my hand. Two steps. Open my eyes. Look at the alpha here. My eyes open, crystal in my hand, and I'm up into an exceedingly high alpha state. Go to the opposite side of my hand, the alpha state drops right down, and then the crystal is taken out of my hands again with my eyes closed, and I'm right back where I am starting from. I'm just focusing on the alpha right now because all the others make things too confusing for the moment. Next line. Here's a four-sided double terminated. Alpha here, crystal is put in my hand, I open my eyes and the alpha goes all the way down. No amplification of the alpha. Let's put this other one on top of that now. Can you kind of overlay them, match them? You see, complete physiological differences in the brain wave activity of myself in just being handed a erased crystal. Crystal was bulk erased with a magnetic tape eraser. My hand was just opened and crystal was put in my hand. Then I opened my eyes and was put on the other side. My eyes were closed and it was taken away. We did that with a whole series of subjects. Let's go on to the next one now. This is a double terminator from Brazil. You see there is, again, the drop between here and here when you open your eyes. Nothing like the eight. Just going from four to eight signs had a profound effect. Now we do a summary. Here's the alpha activity of a natural crystal, meaning it has not been cut. There was no faceting of it, no deliberate action. And as you see here, there is no action either. There's nothing happening throughout all of the programs that we had. Now let's look at the next one. For the same type of crystal that has been cut and faceted. You're programmed and goes way up and then comes down again. Here I'm programming with the mind. So, in summary of this, it shows, yes, I'll put that on there, that in the brainwave activity, the moment you hold a crystal in your hand, depending upon the finish, the number of sides, and the characteristics of it, your brainwave activity can change radically, just holding it. Now when you program it, you can move these step by step into any one of these altered states of consciousness. I can hold high theta, I can hold high delta with my eyes open and functioning at will. It's no magic. You can program, bring up, and lock in and operate. Here is taking the crystal and holding it this way, using like a thermovision of myself on my forehead here, and look at the heating of my face here. Now all I did is take the crystal in this position, and you see the increase in energy of my whole face from just rotating the crystal from this position to this position. There it is right here. Compare this to this. That's done with an AGA thermal vision camera. Next step. I'm working now with a Modiyama equipment to measure the acupuncture points on my body, the electrical activity of all of my organs, and the lungs, intestine, heart constrictor, Hokkio points, triple heater, and the like. Here's the control. The crystal is now put in my hand, then I think of the crystal in healing. Let us just look for a moment at the polarization here on the heart constrictor. It's 101.48. It goes up to 124. And then when I do it in healing, 164. But the real one here is the lungs. 1,223, the control. Crystal in my hand, 1,223. When I do healing, it goes down to 182. as the energetics are coming from the lungs. We go on to the next now. What I want to show, and what I've shown you from my own personal experience, is a crystal properly cut affects the brain wave activity of the mind, brain, the whole electrophysiology of the body when you hold it in your hand, and above all, you can create an entire different bioelectric activity from just holding it. Now when you draw your breath in and pulse it, the energy comes from your breath or your lungs. You saw the drop in energy when you do it in healing. So it comes from the lung, the breath, and it comes through the crystal. Nikola Tesla, in his writings, stated that electricity is ether associated with matter. So he stated that ether is a prime component in the activity of electricity. Matter, when it is linked with ether, can produce electricity. I believe we are seeing something akin to this with a crystal, that we are transferring an etheric component of my body to this crystal, which comes from our mind. That does not have, at the moment when it's in the crystal, either time or space. It is timeless, spaceless. It can move then within any dimension of time and space. So there's no limit to the capacity of storage. You can produce then all of the forms of electricity by just spinning it. The idea came to me in 1984. How could I extract the information from this crystal? And the idea was, spin water around the crystal. And that came from dowsing, because when you go water dowsing over ley line, you get these deflections from your body. I reasoned that if that is the case, then if I spin water around the crystal, I should be able to pull the information out. I did the first experiment in 1984, and to my joy, I found it was true. I could extract information. Now I had to measure that information. I had a special apparatus built for me by Dan, mental block, go ahead. And this was the Omega 1. Now I have the Omega 5. Daniel Perkins. It's a modified radionic machine made especially for these crystals. The unique aspect of the machine is that it has an NMR unit built into it, so that in the well there is a coil that is pulsing at 7.8 hertz. In the rubbing area, I have the equivalent signal being given to my finger when I operate. So I put the crystal into the well, and I can measure then the stick. And what I found is that when I measured the water, I got in the water 454, and when I got the crystal, I got 454. When I emptied the crystal, there was nothing beyond that. When I pulsed the crystal, I began to get a series of numbers indicating a field that was stored or transferred from the water from the crystal, to the water from the crystal. When I measure the crystal, I got a secondary set of numbers, and they're exactly matched that in the water. So I got the same thing in the water that I had in the crystal. So I had A, B comparison. Now I started to expand, step by step, going to bringing in ultraviolet visible spectrophotometry, a Fisher surface tensiometer, a Vincent machine for pH measurement, a Fisher electrophotometer, an amber conductivity meter, and of course my dear old friend, my Ultrafote 3B. This is a body of equipment that we've brought into bear in the study of the energetics of the informational transfer from the crystal to water. The first work over the last 3.5 years, 4 years now, was spinning around a single crystal. We've done that thousands and thousands of times. I took a quantum leap just a month ago and said, could I do a transfer from a crystal A that had a program in it and broadcast it to a crystal B? This is in one room. This is in the second room. This is in a well in the omega 5, pulsing at 7.8 hertz. This is sitting in a vessel which had a coil around it. The industrial unit is 3/4 inch stainless steel, and the laboratory unit is 1/4 inch Pyrex tubing, 7 turns. So we tried it. To our joy, it worked. In other words, I emptied this crystal from a program, spun water around this, nothing happened. Then I took and broadcast from here a program I put in, and sure enough, I got exactly that program in here, 25 feet away, induced into the water. Then we had fun. We took then and started to broadcast into this crystal color. We broadcast red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, and ultraviolet. And we got completely different activities to the water that we are picking up here. This is in one room, 25 feet away. This is in the second room. And the final experiment that was just done 3 days ago was, I said, is there a critical position to the crystal? To my complete joy and surprise, the answer is yes. I have the crystal in this manner. I get one set of signals. I take and reverse the crystal in this way. In the omega 5, I get another set of signals. And then I put it in a vertical position, I get a third set of signals. Just by positioning this crystal broadcasting, I can change the patterning of information that I'm picking up here. We've done close to 500 experiments. That is no artifact. I wanted to be certain before I came here I was dealing with reproducibility and reality. Go to the next slide. The Russians have reported photonic emission from the cell, biophotons. Pop has done immense, very good scientific work. I have his paper here. I had the privilege of meeting him. Biophoton emission, new evidence for coherence and DNA as source. In other words, the DNA vibration and oscillation is emitting biophotons, a photonic emission of light. Pop is showing that. Here is a paper. I was in his laboratory and we did it together. I was witness to it, and what he is using are cucumber seeds. What happens? The nucleus here emits 1900, 2800, 3300 in the UV, and there's another set of emission in 6200 and 6800 in the red to near infrared. You have a dual emission of radiation. This is a fact. One of the great excitements that I had is I took his seedling, Pops, and said, I will do an experiment with you. I had my Omega 5 with him. Imagine this German scientist working on a rubbing plate there in his laboratory. I got the rate for the seed and said, I will now project love to this seed that was in a sealed case. I did that, and when they measured that seed, it had a 20% increase in biophotonic emission. It increased in total energetic output. He asked me to reverse it. I mentally reversed it again, and in time it went down minus 20%. So it had plus and minus 20% reversal. If we show these, I can show this to you. Here is the normal. This is the biophotons that are emitted of this cucumber seed from 2 to 300 seconds. You look at this point at 125, and here is my projecting love to the seed. Now we'll set this right here, and you can see the increase. And when you sum this out, it's a 20% total increase in energy. He said, my God, I can't believe it. So we're going to try to work together again. Now we go on. A crystal with no charge, and you spin water around it, you get a series of outputs that look like this. No energy being stored in the water except a very, very minute charge that you can pick up with the Omega 5. When I program this crystal with intention and love, here's the output that one receives. There's 10 passes, means 1, 2, up to 10. Now we look at the next foil, and you will see the effect of temperature, and now we are measuring the magnetic activity of the water. The water becomes magnetized and retains a permanent magnetic activity after treatment. Here is the water here. At 23 degrees C, nothing. We go drop it down to 16 degrees C, and we get up to 0.04, 400th of a Gauss. And then we take and we add sound, the sound of a trumpet. Paul, I've forgotten what the who the instrumentalist was. Just played sound through little speakers that we had in the unit, and you can see the increase to 0.07 Gauss. Now, if you continue spinning the water around, as you see, it drops. And it's very precise. It comes to this point and then suddenly drops. Next slide. Now we look at some of the present experiments. Here we are projecting now from A to B. Here's a measurement with the omega 5. This is with an 8 to 8. I have an 8-sided crystal on one side and 8 on the other. I've tried all different combinations. Here is the control here, the water, it's all zero. I project it here, and this is Alhambra water, three different waters. Project it, spin the water once around a programmed crystal. Then I broadcast from the other room, and you see the energy is increased. Now the exciting thing is I will broadcast red, just the color red from A. I repeat, I broadcast the color red, and what happens? The energies go right down to zero. Now when I go to green, they go up. To blue, they go higher and higher with purple. But red neutralizes all this type of activity. All etheric activity is neutralized with projecting red. Now, this is very important. I don't think it's ever been measured or observed before. I had to repeat this a dozen times, and it's repeated every time. Next slide. Here is another one. Now, I took the 8-sided crystal here. It was going this way. Now I reversed it. So I'm reversing the crystal. Instead of this tip facing in this direction, I'm reversing it in the other direction. And here's the activity now of the waters. One pass here, projecting it here, is nowhere near the strength. Projecting red, no effect here. And a completely different curve. Now you look at the third, where I'm standing it up vertically. Now you get even a more unusual effect. Let the graph speak for itself. Just three different positions of a broadcasting crystal and three completely different sets of results. Each one of these represent 1,000 cc's of fluid. Here it drops down to almost zero, and then it comes right up to these very, very high values. Now let us look at the effect of pH measurement. Here's pH with three different waters, Alhambra, reverse osmosis, and our tap unit. A is the control, and this is one spinning around it here. It increases the pH from 5.5 to 7.5. You can see the same thing with the reverse osmosis, but very little effect with the tap water. And what we have done with C is we have turned off the projection unit. And then we've broadcast again in E as we did in B. Now what you see, the difference between C and A is that there is a residual of informational code locked in the second crystal. It was transferring a bit and was holding. And that difference is shown right here. This should have come down to zero, but it did not. One more. This is even more dramatic. Here we take a 8-sided healing crystal, and here you have around 5 to 7.5. Again and again, we've gotten the result of a change in pH from just spinning water around a crystal where we broadcast from A to B. That is no artifact. Now, I want to relax for a moment and kind of summarize. We can also broadcast sound. But I can broadcast also homeopathic remedies. I can broadcast insecticides. I can broadcast the essence of various type of soil conditioners. Do you realize the implication of what this is now saying? This opens up, I believe, new technology. I'm very, very happy to share this with you. And instead of continuing showing you slides and more graphs, I would like to open this meeting to you and give you, my listeners, the opportunity of asking me questions. I thank you very much for your attention, and I've enjoyed being with you.
Marcel?
Yes.
My question has to do with, I see that there's been experiments with the number of sides on a crystal. My question to you is, the termination angles, are they critical?
Oh,
is
yes.
there anything that changes with them, do you use?
I've got literally hundreds of slides, and I've had to do a massive selection to keep it within the 2.5 hours. Yes, everything is critical. Finish of the surface, these angles are critical. It's been 4.5 years of backbreaking work. These are real transducers. They're not just a simple toy. And I'm only at the position of DeForest when he first made the first electron tube. This is the first primitive mind transducer. See, what I see, ladies and gentlemen, the opportunity of creating with our mind now directly into chemical reactions without having to use heat, without having to do the involved chemistry. We can do now real alchemy. Would you like to experience the energy from the crystal? All right, hold your hands up. All right, here we go. There she goes. Can you feel that now? Like a wind. Now, gonna pump. Now, reverse. Now, wave. Oh, this is going to be nice now. Watch. Hold your breath. Now breathe in. Look at the crystal. Focus your mind on it. Now I'm going to create a beautiful red rose. Close your eyes. Here comes a rose. Let your breath out. And now smell the rose as she opens up. Oh, that's good. Peace be to all of you. Now, breathe in. And as you breathe out, come into the crystal with me. Breathe out and come into the crystal. But let your breath out suddenly, like that. Now, let us breathe together. And as we breathe out, let us go to the Pyramid of Cheops and experience a pyramid as it is now. Now, breathe in again, and let us go back in time and see it the way it was at its prime, when it was a completely finished pyramid and functioning. Oh. Now let us go below ground and look at the chambers that were present between the Sphinx and the pyramid, which were used to initiate man and bring him to the state of higher awareness and knowing. Breathe in and out. Breathe in again. Now let us go to the Pleiades. Breathe out and go to the Pleiades. Contact our friends there in space and listen to what they have to say to us here now. Look on the technology that they have for energy conversion. Look at how they use crystals. Breathe in and out. And put your hands down. Now, how many could feel the energy? Raise your hands. Need I say more? Clarence Robbins, who is here, said, "Can you give me something that I can feel?" So I said, "All right, I'll try." I've enjoyed being with you. I've looked forward to this. I think we're a wonderful, wonderful organization. And I want to bring young people into this organization to awaken their minds to the new sciences, to the new technology, to let them realize that they must not let themselves be stiltified. Be hamstrung and ground down into a fear complex that they can't do something. Okay, let's carry on. I'll answer questions now.
Have you ever tried to make an adder or some type of a calculating device out of crystals?
Not yet. That's going to come right now. Things are being built now which will have the computers attached to this. Thank you. That's a good point. Look who I see here now. Hello, Tom.
Marcel, since you talked yesterday about having some type of radionics instrument that would not require a rub plate, I'm wondering if this is the type that you were speaking about. And furthermore, what type of broadcasting or communication this could possibly be capable of for the future?
My friend, there, it's unlimited. We could go any place in the hemisphere. We can broadcast information. We can broadcast intelligence. I can take whole programs. You see, look at how our computers work now. We have to take an idea. We have to break it down into words. We have to take these words and break them down into codes, then type it into a computer, which now breaks it down to other codes. Look what it would mean if we can take an entire idea, a thought form, and handle one thought form at a time without having to tear it apart. This is I'm only in the first step of it. As I say, I feel like DeForest. I'm only scratching the surface. But what I've given you, I've tried to do it, is the groundwork that I've laid. I've not been playing around. I've done as best I could, laying a solid ground. Now we can take off on that. Now I want all of us to let go with your imaginations. Let us work together. Let us have fun. Let us be children. I mean wonderfully have fun and let us grow. Okay?
You mentioned somewhere in your talk that the color red stop ethereal flow. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Right, there's much contained in that. Is much contained in that statement that red stops the etheric communication.
What experimentation did you do to arrive to that?
The what?
What's the experimentation that... How?
I projected red in A to B and spun water around it, and all of the energy information went dead.
Okay, thank you.
Did you see what I mean? It just killed it. Now, it may be a very, very powerful form of psychotherapy where we would use red of an appropriate wavelength, bathe it on people who are emotionally disturbed. We want to cleanse them. We want to clean out that radiation. Do you see what I'm driving at?
Well, yeah, Dr. Hutt's research, on the contrary, if you bathe rats in red, they go nuts.
What?
If you bathe rats in the color red, they go nuts.
They go nuts.
Yeah.
Well, you can see why. But they are not human beings. They don't have that type of intelligence that we do. Do you notice when you see many of these people who love this rock music, there's an awful lot of red with the type of things that they use. It excites them, doesn't it? Okay, that's what I know right now, but I'm only beginning. Any more?
I wanted to ask you what type of experiments you've done with lasers.
None. Thank you. I'm waiting. I've got them coming now. I've ordered the lasers, and I will be starting with using lasers. I use monochromatic light. I've got a wavelength monochromator, and so I rotate the monochromator to fixed wavelengths. So a very narrow pass wavelength of light that I'm using. But I've not used a laser yet. A coherent beam I've not tried.
Have you tried blue light?
Oh, yes.
How does
very
that?
Very strong.
How does that work?
Very strong. And then it goes up blue, purple, and then ultraviolet and goes way up.
I had one more question, too.
All
about
right.
When you first were given the crystal by the gentleman that gave you a crystal and it vibrated, how did that... Do you know anything about why that happened?
Yes, I came into resonance with this. And when I drew my breath in and released the breath, the crystal started to... It stuck in my hand, and as I held it, I could feel like a beat of a heart. All of you can do this. You go when you get around outside, pick up the crystals that are available here, the natural crystals, hold them in your hand. Just rotate them this way, draw your breath in, and let your breath out, and feel. And you feel it will start to pulse. The first thought, well, oh, it's only the beat of my heart. No. You listen, you feel further, and you'll suddenly feel an entirely different pulse. It's a charge transfer that is going on in the crystal. That's the best way I can give you an explanation. It's not the beat of your heart. Okay? All righty. Next one.
We are facing major problems, as you know, right now.
Pardon me?
I say right now the human race is facing great problems, as you know. One of the major ones, of course, is the depletion of the...
Do what?
The major problem that the human race is now facing. like the depletion of the ozone layer. Depletion.
That is right.
And also the loss in water purity. We're going to have a great water crisis here before
I know
we
it.
Continue. Is there any way that your research can contribute in mitigating these horrible effects?
Yes, it is. One of the things I'm dedicating myself to is purifying the water, to make healthy water again. So the water can be purified. I've got a home unit that people can put onto the tap and that will just spin the water around a crystal. And that will be ready, I hope, by the end of the year. Try to set up a separate organization for that. And then later on, I want to be able to treat large bodies of water, you know, that are used in processing plants.
Right.
Water. I want to get away from chlorination. I feel I can purify water without chlorination, without the chemical treatment, so we have pure water, but a healthy water.
Right.
Once you get that, you're going to see a whole change in everything. Because we're destroying ourselves with chemicals. Pollution. Thank you, Bunkri.
One moment.
Yes, go ahead.
Marcel, I'd like to suggest a very fun experiment. I would like to visit your lab someday when I am appropriately instrumented with a squid magnetometer.
With a what?
A squid magnetometer.
Oh, I'd love you for that.
A superconducting quantum interference device.
I need one badly. No, I honestly...
And I would like to aim it at your crystal while you're spinning the water around it.
All right.
With the purpose of seeing whether there is a detectable magnetic field.
You'll find them.
Associated with the process. And if you're willing to do that, when I'm funded, I would like to do that.
I'd be happy to do it because I rented a GE magnetometer and you saw I got a 0.07 Gauss. Now, at the time I did that experiment until now, I've gone quantum leaps ahead in the energetics that I've been able to create. And so I'd be most anxious to see.
Yeah, I think that we will find information transfer in terms of magnetic fields.
I know. Oh, I will give all of you one thing that happened. Today is Friday, isn't it? This happened on Monday of this week. We were transferring from A to B a purple. And in room B, when I was projecting the purple and the water was spinning, suddenly room B lit up with a purplish haze. Both people in the room felt it and their whole bodies began to shake. 1,000 cc's of water was used, and that is all. Then when we projected red, there was a pinkish hue throughout the room. Everything took on a pinkish cast. Now, this just happened. So there are energetics that we really have to discover and find more. Go ahead.
Marcel, I have two brief questions. The first one in your diagram there on the flip chart, is the water spinning around the crystal clockwise or counterclockwise?
It's spinning around clockwise. It's clockwise. Goes around this way. Or here's a crystal, goes around this way.
Okay. Thank
you. Not clockwise, not counterclockwise.
Okay. Marcel, when you move the crystal and we had our hands up, I felt the energy very clearly.
Right.
How much of that energy that I experienced or that we experienced was you and your intention, and how much the crystal by itself?
It's the energy is from me. I create the energy with my intention. The crystal helps me to amplify it, that's all.
Okay. Have you increased your energy to do this by working with the crystal sort of as a biofeedback loop?
Sure. Okay. Happens very much so.
Thank you.
Breath and breath control. I learned to know how to hold my breath but above all, how to clear myself. The key I have found is removing from one's own body the elements of fear. It's remarkable how we build within ourselves subconsciously minute fragments of fear. And that starts from childhood. It starts from the remarks that people make to us. And these little fragments of fear inhibit the flow of the energetics from our left brain to the right brain, from our psyche, from our superconscious mind, from all the various faculties. And once we can get this energetic flow going, we can move to all of these dimensions. Okay, next one, please.
We've recently seen a demonstration of the lack of sympathy of the U.S. patent system.
I can't hear you.
The U.S. patent system has recently demonstrated its lack of sympathy towards radical energy innovations in the form of its response to the Joseph Newman machine. I'm wondering, are you really optimistic about your own patent application for this phenomenon?
Yes, right. Well, I filed a patent on that already. It's already in the patent office. I lost your information.
My concern is the patent system isn't particularly sympathetic to radical energy inventions. And I don't share your optimism for your own patent application in this case.
I'm going to get a patent on that.
I certainly hope so.
I've got a very good patent lawyer who is formerly a patent examiner. And it cost me a blooming fortune, but they're not cheap. But I'm determined to get a patent on them. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Do we infer correctly that the crystals you're talking about and demonstrated tonight are different than, that there's something different about these crystals than the general quartz crystal?
This is a natural quartz crystal, optical grade, which we have cut and faceted to the shape and symmetry that you see here. This is tuned to the water molecule.
Specifically engineered.
It's specifically engineered by us to do what I want it to do. This is not taken from the store. It's not. It's been very, very carefully tuned.
That's a good point. Second one, question. Do we also understand correctly that when you broadcast a pattern from crystal A in your schematic to crystal B at a remote location, that you can do this any place in the world?
I think so.
Okay. Which raises this question then. You said that the orientation of crystal B is prerequisite to the accurate transference of information from crystal A.
That's right.
So how do you posit to maintain that accurate orientation to maintain the integrity of your transmitted data?
Well, I will be having a feedback measuring equipment, so this will be on a gimbals. And as I broadcast, I will be having meter indicators to know when I have this oriented on all the axes at the proper interval. Because this just was found out. Now I've got what I call a universal stage for the microscope. So this will be mounted and be set up all on the various axes, and I'll be measuring all the various axes. And I was amazed at the difference. You saw the difference in output that I got from just here, here, and vertical. Now I haven't started the rotation this way yet. And finding, you know, getting each one of the major crystallographic axes. The C axis is here, but the A, B, and C axis of the hexagonal system of the quartz. I'm going to see what's going to happen as I rotate these. These are all major discoveries. I've never seen these things. That's why I was happy to share it with you. Next.
Yes, I wondered if this can be used to create substitutes for energy.
Absolutely. I can make electricity with it. This will be worked on in the coming years, very soon.
Y- You talked about spinning the water around the crystal. What about spinning the crystal itself?
That's coming now. The apparatuses are being built. One of the key things I've also found in transmitting from A to B, there is a significant difference in transmissivity of information from an 8-sided to a 6-sided crystal. There is a much denser water being created with an 8-sided than with the 6. And that was consistent with all of the experiments I ran. And with the 13-sided, it was an entirely different one again. So it's apparently a very critical set of windows I've got to find. This is new information. And I've got to work up the paradigm. It's still remarkable. I just finished on Tuesday of this week treating Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Sauvignon wine. I should have brought it here and shared it with you. Next time I come, you will have it. But the wine came out beautiful. And there are 7 wines that we have treated now. And the 7 wines each have shown significant change in their characteristic and output on treatment. Now, this is anaerobic, which means it's a closed system. The wine is in a 3/4-inch stainless steel tube and is spinning very, very slowly around the crystal. But just that act programs the wine and it comes out a finished wine. What I mean by a finished wine is that the cutting edge is taken off, it is smoothed off as if you had bottle aged it for years. It has a bloom that suddenly blossoms in your mouth that you wait for bottle aging for a long time. This can radically change the whole wine industry, I hope. Yes? What? Millions. Because they would not have to bottle age it. They would not have to rack it. It's ready to go immediately when they bottle it. It's still hard for me to believe, but every time I do it, it's an amazement. Okay, next one.
Has the problem of addressability of a single crystal in the world
I can't hear
addressed?
You.
Addressability of a given crystal. Have you addressed it yet? How did you pick to beam the energy to specifically crystal A?
I measure the crystals with the omega 5, and I measure them till they match one another. They're tuned with my radionic instrument. It's cut, and then I send them back, and they're finally tuned till I have it tuned out till these two are exactly matched. I cannot measure it with... Yes, I take with calipers to get it to the nearest index so the two match. Then I have to tune it radionically because I'm in another dimension, another world. And so I'm grateful for the radionic instrumentation that I've used in conjunction with this. But I could give you a whole talk on radionics. I'm putting it to practical use. For example, I have the omega 5 and I can follow the bottle aging of wine radionically. I put the wine onto the instrument and I get a numerical value which indicates to me now when the wine has come to maturity. And if it continues changing, it said it's still maturing. But as soon as it's stabilized, that bottle is ready to drink. I can determine that either in the bottle or in the cask without having to open it. I'm doing that right now. Next question.
In view of one of the standard put-downs that many scientific circles seem to use, it might be useful to ask, to what extent Do other individuals just following the same protocols with the same resources or same materials get the same results?
Nobody right now. I'm the only one.
That's where the put-down comes. So
I'm the only one right now.
It might be important then to get other individuals do this to replicate the results on that level.
That is correct. Right now I stand alone. Thank you. No, it's true. But I was determined to see, am I dealing with reality? And I was willing to devote almost 5 years of my life, go without salary for 5 years, and work my blooming head off. And I'm certain it is real, it is reproducible, and I have something of value. Now I want to bring it out and really put it to work. Okay, next one.
Coming back to the business of spinning fluid, specifically wine, around the crystal. Was the crystal in the upright position you have it shown in the diagram on the board there?
The crystal just remains static, remains in position, and there's a coil around it. That's all there is.
A copper coil around it to hold it in an upright position.
It holds it in an upright position.
Okay. I wondered if it was flat or how you actually did hold it in position.
No, it's just locked. It's locked into place.
Just locked in place with the coil.
Locked in place. I made a special holders for that.
Thank you.
One more question, and I'm going to say thank you.
A good many years ago, I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and visited a man named Joe Dennison. And Joe had a setup where he picked a piece of skin out of his hand.
Right.
And put it between the poles of an exquisitely sensitive amplifier. Then he'd go across the room and threaten to injure his hand, say, with a soldering iron, and the piece in between the poles of the amplifier would respond immediately.
Right.
And it seems to me that what you're getting here is the same phenomenon.
Righto.
When you've got your two crystals exactly matched, space doesn't matter anymore.
That's right. There is no space.
Okay.
There is no space. We're not dealing with the electromagnetic spectrum. I believe what we're seeing is an etheric transfer between A and B. I believe what we're seeing is a true example of etheric energy or force being utilized to release information from one to another. We're dealing with a mind force. And the first time we can begin to systematically study thought. The characteristic of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun. Thank you very much, and good night.